Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Today in the studio, I have Joe Ertljack, newly appointed Assistant Athletic Director for Sports Medicine at Tennessee Tech University. First of all, Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sam. Thanks for having me.
So, man, I mean, you've been at Tennessee Tech for a long time to get the, you know, the nod, if you will, to be named Assistant Athletic Director ahead, you know, head of your area. That's got to mean a lot to you, Joe.
It means a lot to for Mark to and the university have that faith and confidence to go ahead and name me as an Assistant Athletic Director. Appreciate the change there. As we move forward, we'll more administrative duties in addition to the duties I've already had will start to show and start to come to the forefront.
You know, I think you, of course, I've known you. We'll talk about some experiences here in a second, but you know, you started out here at Tennessee. Well, when you got to Tennessee Tech, you came from previous jobs in sports medicine. And you got to Tennessee Tech and you worked with Doc Green for a while. And then you decided to get out of the college side of it and do something a little different. So let's go back. Where did you work before coming to Tennessee Tech, and what was your history there?
Prior to coming to Tennessee Tech, I was at LaSalle University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I worked there as an assistant athletic trainer. We had 22 sports. And there was two of us. Times have changed a little bit now, but we had a lot on our plate. Philadelphia was a great city, but I moved there from a small town in West Virginia. So we had a lot of differences there from size to size.
So you go from a smaller town in West Virginia with, let me just say, some pretty exceptional names on the athletic side that you grew up with. You go to a huge city like Philadelphia. How was that going from that small town into a city that big?
That was a really big change. I think it was preference a little bit that I spent a year in Clarksville, Tennessee at Austin Peay. So Clarksville was relatively large compared to where I grew up, especially with the military base there. So you saw that, but nothing prepares you for coming into Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, although I traveled a lot with different teams and that. So I had experiences in cities, but not living in the city, you know.
So let's look at the backside of that. So you left Philadelphia to come to a smaller town. So you've been to Philadelphia for a while. You've got the life of the big city, and then you come to Cookeville. What was that like?
That was really a big change again, because when I moved back to the small town, Interstate Drive wasn't even completed yet. I mean, Cookeville was still pretty small. It's grown a lot since I've gotten back. But coming back there, it was again a little bit of a culture shock, because I was used to getting off work late and going and getting whatever I needed. And that was not the case when I first moved back here. You weren't going to find things if you needed it late.
Yeah, and that you say you came back when Interstate Drive wasn't even. I remember that. I mean, there was a little road, you know, going through there. I think it was, I don't know if it's Bunker Hill Road, but back
it's
behind
Bunker
there.
Hill.
And you know, that road's still there, and they put the 4-lane of Interstate Drive in there. Boy, when they did that, this place just really shot up, you know, being right off of I-40.
Well, there was no real fast food. There was no real restaurant chains or anything at the time when I first came back. So
no, not at all. Today we're talking with Joe Ertljack, Head Athletic Trainer and Assistant Athletic Director at Tennessee Tech University. And Joe, continuing there, there wasn't a lot. I remember Burger King. You know, Burger King was there up on the hill. I don't even think McDonald's was there at that time.
There wasn't. The only McDonald's I can remember was over by the interstate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, Cookeville has changed a lot since that time, and a lot has changed with you. Of course, your family, your daughter's getting a little older, don't want to take that ammunition away from you. So tell us about your family a little bit.
I've just celebrated my 20th wedding anniversary last month.
Congratulations.
Which is a big accomplishment. I've married a wonderful woman from Allard, Tennessee. So Tennessee has become home. We have a wonderful daughter who's 12 years old and starting seventh grade now, and we've been so blessed in those ways. And I've got great in-laws, so I've gotten lucky. I've been very fortunate there.
And you mentioned your daughter. You know, she's growing. I mean, she's moving on up there now, and she's in seventh grade. Is that right?
That's correct.
At Prescott South, and having a good time there. Very, very academic oriented young lady, and got a nice bright future ahead of her.
And we're very, didn't mean to cut you off, but we're very fortunate. We've got a new principal over there. We had a good one, but now I've got to shout out kudos to your wife, Miss Tara Brooks, who's the new principal out there at Prescott, and we're fortunate to have her as well.
But believe it or not, folks, I did not ask him to say that, so my wife will be pleased there. But thank you, Joe. I appreciate that, and she's really looking forward to working with all the kiddos and parents over there. Our paths crossed. You left Tennessee Tech for a little bit to take another job. So let's touch on that briefly. You were assistant athletic trainer at that time with Doc Green, and then the opportunity came along to do something else.
Had an opportunity to go work with Cookeville Regional Medical Center. At that time, they were getting back into starting a outreach program with athletic trainers, and they were going to place one at Upperman High School. And I got a contact from Cookeville, and it looked like a good opportunity, and it was something different. And I thought I was going to even be able to get back in coaching some, which I'd missed. And so I looked at that opportunity and embraced it and made that change at the time.
Yeah, you talked about getting back into coaching. You were able to do that. So not only did you lead a full high school, and you ended up being stationed basically at Upperman High School, and you were able to help with basketball. You were able to help with football. You were my running back coach at that time. We had a great time together down there at UHS. Really loved my time down there with you guys. But that gave you an opportunity to kind of get away from college athletics for a while. How did that serve you as you entered back into college athletics?
Well, I think it allowed you to get back in. That's a great question, honestly. I think it was a good change. It was, you know, they're totally separate jobs and separate positions. High school, you have the parents' involvement a lot more. Now, I say that. We have a lot of parents' involvement at the college level.
Trust I bet you
me.
Do right now.
a lot, but and all well-meaning.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In the high school setting, you're really going to be communicating a lot more directly with the parents. You're still going to take care of the young student athlete. And, you know, you're going to see a little bit different injuries because of the age and the mechanisms, et cetera. But I think the biggest change is when you're dealing with more of the parents on a constant day-to-day basis. Yeah. And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's just there. It's the same thing in the educational wing of that. You know, they're involved a little bit more with their education than they would be when they're off at college.
You know, and sometimes that makes it easier because, you know, they're hearing it firsthand and you're not getting a phone call after the fact when the individual has said, had a communication with their parents that they may or may not have totally heard what was being said. So I think the biggest change there is just dealing, the parental involvement.
We're talking with Joe Ertljack, assistant athletic director now at Tennessee Tech. And Joe, when we got into the high school, you know, I think Cookeville Regional, as you said, had that contract. If I'm not mistaken, I believe they just were awarded that contract again here recently. And so they'll get back to kind of entertaining those student athletes countywide, well, really region here in Cookeville and beyond.
Yeah, that is my understanding that they are now back in with the contract for the local high schools. And they have placed two. My understanding, again, is that they have two athletic trainers now at Cookeville High School, one at Upperman High School and one at Monterey.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And that, you know, nothing. I think it's healthy to change that contract every now and then. I think it was Star, if I'm not mistaken, that had it before, and they did a fine job. But I do think it's healthy to change that every now and then and give the student athletes someone new to work with, and maybe even a new program. And that competition probably promotes better service, I would think, just like a business model.
I would think it does for them. I believe that the individuals, and I think all the individuals at the respected schools were interviewed and had the opportunity. I believe the ones at Cookeville High School were rehired. I'm not real familiar with the other situations.
Gotcha.
I do believe there's a new one at Upperman, because I believe the individual that was at Upperman went with his former employee.
Gotcha.
He stayed with the organization that he was working with Star. So, but again, I think it's good. It allows the schools to evaluate the service they're getting and allows them to potentially get more services out of the group.
So you got your feel doing that for a while, got out of college athletics for a little while, kind of still was involved with Tennessee Tech in a lot of ways, you know, even while you were doing that. And then you got the opportunity to come back to Tech.
Yeah, it's been good to be back. You know, the athletics obviously takes a whole different level of intensity and speed. And there's a lot going on, a lot with athletics, a lot with administration, a lot of moving parts, a lot with the NCAA. There's change constantly. Some of it's good. Some of it we can talk about maybe that
right.
We may like, may not, but it's just part of it. And, you know, but it's been a great move back, and, you know, I'm very blessed to be where I am right now, and it's been good.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And of course, everyone around here is glad to have you back and move into that head athletic trainer role, and now promoted to assistant athletic director also. We're going to take a quick break, Joe, but when we get back, we're going to really dive into this COVID situation and what you've had to deal with the last year and a half. So that ought to be a lot of fun, really informative folks out there. So we'll be right back after this break.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Got Joe Ertljack in the chair today. Going to get to some intense questioning for our athletic trainer and now assistant athletic director over there at Tennessee Tech. So, Joe, to say that the last year and a half has been a difficult time frame for you and everybody involved, coaches, players, all the way around, is probably the biggest understatement that I've said on this radio show. So I want to give the folks a sense of what has gone on the college athletics side dealing with this COVID-19 situation that we've been dealing with for a while. So we're going into March, right? March 2nd, tornadoes, disastrous night hit. Tennessee Tech's teams are out there cleaning up. I saw that all over social media, which I thought was absolutely incredible. And then 2 weeks later, we hear about something. We already knew and heard of COVID-19, but it wasn't here. And then all of a sudden, it hits in the U.S. What are you doing at that point? I'm sure you're hearing things along the way about what's going to happen. What are you doing to prepare for this?
Well, at that time, I think we were still reeling from the tornado. I had staff members that lost homes. We had a lot going on. And to add then COVID, as you so stated, we were really just trying to get information. We were hearing that things were getting ready to shut down. We were trying to figure that out. And we really didn't know what was coming, to be very honest with you. A lot of conversations, a lot of information, that was coming forward, but, really we were just trying to prepare the kids, get them safe as, you know, the university was starting to shut down now as they were told to close out action teams were being formed, committees were being formed, because on a university front, you have people in the dorms. It's got to be moved out. Stuff's got to be moved out. You had cases coming from everywhere. And so it just really was, okay, how are we going to get people home? I mean, we have international students. Can they travel? Well, if they're on campus, they're going to be moved at some point. As we were looking, the university did a great job with housing and making arrangements for food preparations as we were closing down and essentially closing that semester down. And the real issue there in March was to try to get everything closed out because seasons were canceled. Those were on. Mark was in communication with what was going to be going on with student athletes that lost that year of athletic performance and seasons and such. So we were really just in a emergency lockdown, you know, close out kind of mode.
Right.
And just really trying to handle the business end of tying up the seasons as if they were ending.
Could you ever imagine in January and February when we started hearing a little bit about it and some of the cases were coming our way, could you ever imagine that it was going to be as intense as it ended up being?
I don't think we really had a good understanding that it really was going to affect athletics. I think we live in a bubble in athletics and, you know, everything around us may stop, but athletics really never stops. And there's only been a few times I think that athletics shut down, and this unfortunately was one of them. But it was really a very interesting time right there to see all that shut down. Cause as you can remember, that came right where March Madness shut down.
Right.
And that's a big business $1 billion industry. Right.
And
there.
That's when people knew that this thing was getting serious.
And that's when we knew if we were shutting basketball down, the rest of them was going to shut down.
Yeah. We're talking to Joe Erteljack, head athletic trainer at Tennessee Tech University. And Joe, we fast forward a little bit. You guys did basically everybody across the board did a phenomenal job of closing down the year. Students worked from home. Many worked online from their home, finished out the year as best they could, whatever that meant. Different, very different from one university to another. But you go into a situation where summer's coming up and, you know, we're seeing the cases and we're seeing the numbers grow and all of that. And we get to a point in summer where it kind of levels off a little bit. The spike was coming back down a little bit. Now everybody's starting to think, you know, that we're going to be able to go into this next year and that we're going to be able to have a season and we're going to be able to possibly get back to some type of normal. Well, let's talk about the difference for normal for you, because at Tennessee Tech, being the athletic trainer, you're in charge of testing for all of the athletes. So what does that mean? I want the folks out there to get a pretty good idea of what your day-to-day was like.
Well, I spend a lot of hours a day on testing and managing results and classifying, you know, because in athletic departments, I was also managing our staff, managers, coaches, administrative staff, facilities, and our student athletes. And I got to say, we were so blessed to have our student health services with Miss Leanne Ray, the director out there, and one of her nurses, Kim Williams, who was very helpful as well. But Miss Leanne Ray was always there for us and had her staff really doing a lot with us. And they did a lot of our testing. And the public and Putnam County Health, Miss Lisa Bumblow. Mm-hmm. I mean, we, you know, those were great partners, and I'm sure Mark can share more on that, but they were really great partners. But I've got a lot of spreadsheets out there. I got really good at doing spreadsheets with different teams and, you know, contact tracing and positives and negative tests. I mean, we conducted thousands of tests last year.
And for the student athlete, Joe, that meant sometimes as much as three times a week.
We had guidelines from the NCAA on how we had to do the different testing, which sports had, you know, some sports had a little different testing protocols than others. Basketball tested three times a week. You know, we had to arrange those tests three times a week. We had teams that had to test, you know, there's two different tests. Some were the rapid antigen tests, some were the PCR tests. These tests for different venues and different events, different sports, you might have to do it 3 days. Like a PCR test, we would have to do it 3 days prior to the competition. Antigen tests, we would have to do it the day before they left for an event. We put seating charts together on buses. We've had air purifiers on buses and in vans. They're in the locker rooms. Masking was a big part. In our conference last year, volleyball, for example, wore masks to compete. So they had to have masks on all the time. That was something that was done a little bit to change some of the testing protocols if they were masked. But they competed in masks last year. So we had a lot of testing, a lot of moving parts. You know, and it's a credit to everybody that's been involved, from the academic side of the academic, all the tutoring, all the arrangements made to get students the help they need, the setups to not encroach on social distancing that we had to be this social distanced, even in tutoring sessions. So academics had their share of part in the athletic side.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Good morning, Upper Cumberland. We hope you're having a good morning out there. We got Joe Ertljack in the chair today, head athletic trainer at Tennessee Tech University. And we were having a conversation about COVID and how college athletes across the nation had to deal with it. Got our own university here in Cookeville, Tennessee Tech University, and Joe was leading that charge, along with a lot of help from the local health department and several folks around Tennessee Tech that played a huge part in to something that have never been done before and something that we didn't have a blueprint and a plan for and that you were probably getting guidance almost daily. You really described what was going on a lot with those student athletes. From your perspective, Joe, and being around those student athletes a lot, how are they dealing with it? I know that students dealing with this and being, you know, they're in a time in their life when they want to be around other folks. They're in college. They want to have fun. And a lot of that was taken away. It had to be. It's just the way it was. That's the guidance we had to follow. How do you feel that most of the students dealt with that on a daily basis?
I think most of our student athletes did a great job dealing with it. You know, when you tell student athletes, hey, don't go hang out in each other's rooms. Don't go here. You need to be in at this time. You need to have mask on. Keep your circle, keep your bubble tight. You know, hang with your roommate. If you're getting in the car, get in the car with your roommate, because flashing back to last year, contact tracing, if you were in a car with somebody that was unfortunately enough to have it, you were going to get quarantined. And that's just where we were. And then you were going to lose potentially events, games, contests, or worst of all, you may get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So for the most part, I think they handled it well. Nobody wants to be told, especially at a young age, when you want to experience college and you want to go have fun with your friends, you want to do different things. It just wasn't where you were at when we were in season. Last spring, everybody was in season. We have 14 sports at Tennessee Tech. 14 sports were competing. Football was competing in the spring, just like our tennis team was competing in the spring. So everybody was in season and looking for a goal to win.
That's something that's never happened before. As far as I know, in the history of college athletics, you've never had a situation. And there was a lot of universities across the nation that had to do that if they wanted their student athletes to get that competition, because things got a little bit better in the spring, you know, after it really hit home in that fall where all the sports were basically canceled. Some of the conferences, the SEC decided to go ahead and play, and they had to deal with those expectations on that you talked about on a daily basis. But here at Tennessee Tech, the fall sports were basically postponed. And at that time, not even knowing that they were going to be able to play in the spring, but luckily, They were able to get the contest set up and have some type of season in the spring for these student athletes.
Yeah, and I think that was good for the student athletes. You know, they work so hard in conditioning and in training and preparing for the skill that they do. And they work hard in the classroom. You know, you have to do the classwork and the education component to be able to do the athletic component. And to take one or the other away is hard. It's hard for a 19, 18, 20-year-old. I'm going to call them a kid. I know they're a young adult, but I'm old, so to me they're a kid. I thought they handled it well. And like you said, you know, you go into the uncertain. I think some of the hardest thing was coming to last fall, because as things were coming and we're trying to get guidance and trying to see what we're going to do, you had all that uncertain. Are we playing football? Are we not playing football? Are we playing the other sports? Are we not playing the fall sports? And it really came right down to, and you can look even in our league where you had some teams that chose to play three or four events in the fall, even though, you know, our conference season was not going to take place in football until the spring, as well as our other fall sports. But at our level, now some of the FBS schools, yes, right, they played your Power Fives. They went ahead and played football. But if you look at that, they played football. They played the event. The fans, the stadiums were empty. You know, we talk now, they talk this tier one bubble, and those are the people inside your tier that are going to be held to whatever standards, whatever protocols are in place. And outside of that, that no one is inside that bubble, certainly on the, at the facility, et cetera. So a lot of things were closed, a lot of changes for fans as well.
We have a head athletic trainer and newly appointed assistant athletic director, Joe Ertljack, in the hot seat today.
Nothing like talking about COVID.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something that needs to be talked about, because I don't think people understand, you know, what these kids have had to deal with. And that leads me to my next question, Joe. And I've read about it a lot. A lot of these student athletes, you know, that's the prime time in their life. They go through a lot to try and prepare themselves for that sport. And you mentioned how they have to do in academics. They have to toe the line there. They have to go to study halls. They have to, you know, report to different meetings at different times all throughout the season and off season, all to get that opportunity to be on the field. And then that was taken away. And I've read a lot of some of those students out there at this very young age, battling with a little bit of depression along the way because of the alone times, the forced distance that you had to be away from other students, and all of that it mounted up. And in a lot of students across the nation, especially student athletes, created some situations where they became depressed. How evident has that been to you? And have you heard a lot about that in your conferences and in your talk, your dealings with other athletic trainers?
I think we've heard a lot about it. I think as a nation, there's a lot of individuals, athletes, non-athletes, that have suffered a lot of depression or some mental health over this, because as families, don't go visit families that are used to being around each other. And now due to either fear of one or the other getting one or the other sick, they don't do that. So people get very isolated. I think some of our students got isolated. I think college athletes as a whole, probably, and this is speaking to all college athletes, they're kind of isolated anyway to some extent. You know, expectations are slightly different for a student athlete than they are for a regular student. And, you know, some could argue that, but there's just a different set of expectations placed upon.
I agree.
They for the most part handle it well, but I think as a society, we're becoming more aware of mental health issues and such. And, you know, depression, if you're always by yourself or you're alone, I think it's hardest for those that may have got contact trace. You know, you talk to other colleagues and you've got a student athlete that is quarantined for 40 consecutive days, yeah. You know, and they're in their place. They're not really outside. They can't go outside. They're not sick. They don't understand why they're stuck there. But that's just the way it was then. And it was like that for any of us. And I think they've learned about it, but hopefully we can get all these things move forward, and hopefully we can get back to business as usual, which we are attempting.
Now, I'm talking to Joe Odeljack now, and not necessarily the head athletic trainer.
Correct.
At Tennessee Tech, when I asked these couple of questions, because they are hot topics now, and I think that I would be remiss if I didn't at least ask your opinion, you know, of some of these things. Masking is a big question right now, and to some people, it's a question of freedom that live in the United States, and they feel like their rights are being violated by being forced to wear a mask. And then on the other side of that is the actual shot. We got a vaccine out, a vaccine that apparently is very good. And then now we've got a new, a new worry that's come our way with a different variant that seems to be a little bit more, a lot worse than the first one. And in the latest news, possibly children, younger children being able to pick it up easier. So let's talk about the first one, the masking. In your opinion, you know, as an athletic trainer, not at Tennessee Tech, but just in general, Joe Odeljack, what's your thoughts on masking?
I think masking helps. It certainly is helping if you're unvaccinated. Some new guidelines are coming out where, things are changing. Some states have went back and have placed mask mandates in place. And again, we can debate whether or not it's somebody's right or not right. But some states are going back to this, and I think that's going to be important in some ways. Will masking itself prevent anything? It's really just another factor to try to help mitigate things.
Right.
And if you're if you're inside and you can't social distance, I think it's a good thing to be doing.
Yeah. I'm not asking you this for people out there to call you or write you emails or anything.
You're
so
right.
Please don't do that. I'm just wanting to get a valued opinion, on this topic. And I'll just throw mine out there when we talk about shots, because, this is my show and I have the opportunity to be able to do it. But when they offered the vaccine, I was first in line. I wanted the vaccine. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't believe in a lot of that stuff. And I just felt like the medical people that we have in this country are very good, and they know what they're doing. And I need to, believe in that. And if it could keep me away from getting COVID, then that's what I wanted to do. And that's just my opinion, Joe, that I'm not forcing that on anybody or saying that that's what you should do individually. But that's what I believe. I believe the vaccine is good. I believe it works. And that's what me and my family, did. So what's your thoughts on the vaccine?
Well, I would encourage the vaccine. That's my opinion. I know that the vaccine may not totally prevent you from contracting COVID, but if you look at the statistics, those that are being hospitalized and getting really, really sick and getting placed on vents are unvaccinated. Now, that's not all of them. You have breakthrough cases. You have outliers. You have people that have been vaccinated that still contract COVID. Some of those still get sick. So they're outliers. But I think that to try to help get this stopped, and if we want to try to get back to really where we're at, I think we're going to have to get vaccinated.
Joe, believe it or not, we're out of time for today's show. I'm going to have you back, talk a little bit more about this, especially as we get into football season and we see how things work out, across the country. But thank you so much for spending your time with us today. We definitely appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.